It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep with David Green. Much of a major metropolitan area is shut down this morning as police look for one more suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. A suspect in the Boston area was killed overnight after a chase with police and a gun battle. Another suspect is still at large, and Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick spoke with the public a little bit earlier this morning.
We're asking people to shelter in place, in other words, to stay indoors with their doors locked and not to open the door for anyone other than a properly identified law enforcement officer. And that applies here in Watertown, where we are right now, also Cambridge, Waltham, Newton, Belmont, and at this point, all of Boston, all of Boston.
Hear what he said there twice, all of Boston. So a good part of the metropolitan area, people are being asked to stay indoors and not answer the door unless they are convinced that it is a law enforcement official properly identified. Now, at the same time, the search goes on for the remaining suspect believed to be at large. We're learning more facts about these two suspects. Each new fact opens a series of doors. Each question answered leads to new questions. And in this case, the questions lead overseas because authorities have identified these two young men, one dead, one still alive and at large, as Jokhar Tsarnaev and Tamerlane Tsarnaev, young brothers from Chechnya. Why would two guys from Chechnya bomb the Boston Marathon? One of the gigantic questions that we'll try to answer in the hours and days ahead may take a long time. We have no idea of motives at this point, but let's get up to date on what we do know. Let's begin with NPR's Scott Horsley. He's NPR's White House correspondent. And Scott, what is the president doing this morning, the president and his staff?
Well, the president was briefed throughout the night by Lisa Monaco, his counterterrorism advisor, just as he has been ever since the bombing took place on Monday. We might assume there were more briefings on this night. As Governor Patrick said, this has been a rapidly developing situation. I go back to Monday when just a few hours after the bombing, the president walked into the briefing room at the White House and said, we will catch who did this. We will bring them to justice. But at the time, he really cautioned against any sort of rush to judgment. He said, we don't know who did this. We don't know where they're from. We don't know why they acted. Obviously, now we're beginning to fill in the who and the where they're from, although the why is still very much a question mark.
And let's remember what federal law enforcement officials were saying at the beginning. We heard from our correspondent, Dina Temple-Raston, in the early hours after the Boston Marathon bombing. Officials were quick to say that they were not ruling out any possibility, that they were chasing every possibility, but their initial thoughts led them to think that this might be some kind of domestic terrorist attack. That was one of the questions, at least, that they had to ask. How does this situation change? How does the complexity of it change for the President of the United States now that police have identified these suspects, both of them as being from overseas?
Well, obviously, it brings in an international dimension. It raises the question if there are foreign policy considerations here. But I also think, you know, we heard Corey Flintoff talk about how Chechnya is a heavily Islamic region. That raises concerns here at home, too. And I'm sure when the president speaks, one thing he will caution against is any sort of guilt by association in this country. He's also been very strong saying that while this was an act of terrorism, that the American people will not be terrorized. And he, of course, gave a stirring speech just yesterday at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross in Boston. We will not hunker down, he said. That's not the way we are. And, of course, this morning, the people of Boston and Watertown and the surrounding suburbs are absolutely hunkered down, and that's a wise precaution to take in the moment. But those doors will be unlocked, the president will say, and we'll go on and live our lives.
Scott, you mentioned a warning against a guilt by association. Thanks very much, Scott Horsley, NPR's White House correspondent. This is maybe a good time to mention again that while we do know that Chechnya has a lot of Muslims and has a past that involves a lot of different kinds of fighting and terrorist activity, we don't know anything about the backgrounds of the two young men who have now been linked to the Boston Marathon bombing. We do not know, in particular, their religion, for example, nor do we know any reason for their motives. But let's try to learn a little bit more about the Russian region from which they come. We are joined now by Matt Rojansky. He is deputy director of the Russia and Eurasia program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He's on the line. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What were your first thoughts when you heard that suspects were from Chechnya?
Yeah, my initial reaction, of course, as soon as I saw their names, I knew they were Chechens, is that, you know, this couldn't be happening at a more difficult time in the U.S.-Russia relationship. You know, Chechnya is, of course, an open sore in southern Russia, the northern end of the Caucasus Mountains, which has been at war with itself and with Russia for two decades. And the Russians have very well known the terror threat emanating from Chechnya. They've sought to describe it to the world. After 9/11, one of the big reasons for Russia's immediate outpouring of support, sympathy, and offers of partnership to the United States was precisely the conviction on the part of Putin and others that, you know, at last the Americans realize we're facing the same foe. Of course, things have changed somewhat since then, and the difficulty of this moment comes from the fact that just 1 week ago, the U.S. government released a list banning travel to the United States by Russian officials, some of whom, in fact, were security officials, you know, fighting these same folks in Chechnya. So now the reason for that was that we in the United States disapprove of Russia's methodology.
Mm-hmm. Let's remember also, isn't there some skepticism in the United States about how to describe the threat in Chechnya? The Russian government would like to say these are Muslim extremists, they're affiliated to Al-Qaeda, but the Chechnyans would describe themselves more as nationalists who are fighting against a repressive state. Isn't that correct?
Well, that used to be the case much more in the first Chechen conflict. Shortly after the fall of the Soviet Union, it was really a nationalist, separatist conflict like many others in the former Soviet space, but it evolved. During the second Chechen War and then the insurgency that followed over the last decade or so, it became much more understood on all sides to be an Islamist conflict. And indeed, there's a so-called Islamic Emirate of the North Caucasus, which seeks to break away from Russia altogether and unite the Muslim tribes and peoples of the Northern Caucasus. And I think this is widely understood in Russia now to be a sectarian and a religious conflict as well.
Do you think that the Russian government is in a position to provide the United States with reliable information here?
You know, I can't know exactly what the Russians know. Based on, you know, the relative efficacy that their security forces have had, admittedly with often brutal methodology, they probably do know a lot more about this region than we do. They certainly know about the individuals who are of concern and about the groups and about the various online forums that they may be using and other means of communication. So I think it's reasonable to assume that the Russians know things that would be useful to us as we try to get a more fulsome picture of what happened. My concern would be, you know, you can't go back and rewrite the past. Over the last year and a half, our relationship with Russia has suffered so much that I wonder whether there were missed opportunities in terms of intelligence sharing and counterterrorism cooperation, which either could have prevented these guys from entering the country to begin with or identified them, you know, before they had a chance to mount this attack.
And let's just remember here again, we do not know the motives of these two individuals, one of whom was killed overnight in Boston, the other of whom is believed to be still at large, and police are continuing to search Watertown, Massachusetts. But in just about 10 seconds, sir, if you had an opportunity to pose a question that you think authorities should answer, what's the question on your mind?
I think the question really is, are there others? Is this a bigger group? What can we find out about what these people may be intending next?
Okay, Mr. Rajansky, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Matt Rajansky is Deputy Director of the Russia and Eurasia Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He speaks with us on This Morning when police are searching for a suspect still believed to be at large in the Boston Marathon bombing. One suspect, police say, has been killed. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.